We've started looking at the wisdom books, as I'll call them. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job. And I think if anything we need in America today is some wisdom and knowledge. And I think we can get a good definition of wisdom and knowledge. The only place you're going to get it's out of the book. It's not going to be man's knowledge, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. It's just so much that I need to cover, and maybe I'll hit the right spots this morning. But last week, we've taken a word, and that's what we're going to be doing, is taking a word or a subject out of... we'll be taking a word or a subject out of the wisdom books here, and we'll be dealing with that word. So, last week we took the word fear, and we went over and looked at there's two types of fear. There's man's fear, then there's God's fear, that's the fear of God. And we looked at Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5 when Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. He was asleep or resting, and the storm come, and they were afraid. And they come and says, "Master, you care not that we perish?" I mean, there was some fear there. But the Bible says, and we won't look the scriptures up again, we read them last week, when he got up, he looked out over the storm and said, "Peace be still." And then the Bible says they were greatly afraid. See the changes? See the difference? "What manner of man is this," they said, "that even the seas obey his voice?" What kind of fellow we got on this boat? It's what they were saying. So there's a fear of God. And that fear of God, Christians should have that fear as well as. And I think, and that's a personal opinion, what I think that's what's missing in our churches and in our, of today, is the fear of God. Jesus said to fear the one who's able to cast both soul and body. We'll not rehearse much of what we had before, but there's the fear of God, and there's several scriptures that I could go to here, but I'll only go to a few of them in just a minute. But let's look at what he said about our fear. And it's hard not to be careful. Paul uses the word careful, meaning to be worried or overly concerned about something. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, I want you to turn there and see what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount. Then we're just going to look at a few verses and address our fear. Fear of the future. You know, when I stop and consider what I've got to last for the end of my life, then I can fear or be careful, be worried. Then if I had a lot and I stopped to consider how fast it could be gone, then I got something to worry about, right? But God teaches us not to consider those things. Now that doesn't give us an excuse not to plan. Okay? That's no excuse not to plan. Look what Job had, and I'm sure he did a lot of planning. But he said, "If I had made gold my hope, or fine gold my confidence," if your hope is in your planning for your future, then we got a problem. Because I can't control it. And as the old guy said at work a long time ago, "If I don't control it, there's no need to worry about it because I don't control it. And if I do control it, there's no need to worry about it because I control it." So there's no need to worry, period. But let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, God looks at, I'm going to speak for myself. When I look at my future, I look for the easy way. When God looks at my future, he sees what's best for me. And he's got a plan. As we've looked so many times, I love those illustrations that I've used 2 or 3 weeks in a row with Ruth and Naomi and with Jacob. Jacob cried, can't you just see him crying out to God? But look what he went through. Those were long years without Joseph. The way he looked up and he cried, all these things are against me. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. Now you would take mine only son, Benjamin. All these things are against me. But they wasn't. God had set a plan. And he just didn't do it at Jacob's time. He did it on his time. And look at Ruth. She said, I come in full, I've gone out empty. The hand of God has smitten me. She said that. And then she said, the hand of God is against me. It's beat me down. But go read the last chapter. When it was said by the other women that God hath given Naomi a son. Now who is that son? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because right in that lineage down comes it. So all those... God's going to do what he's going to do. As I said last week, I honestly believe, and I'll give you when it's my opinion, and my opinion is America is going to be punished severely. And don't think that we're going to get out of it. Job chapter 9, I'm going to read that verse one more time, then we'll get into the lesson. But in Job chapter 9, I just want to read several verses here. In verse 18, he will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. You see that? Job's right. It don't sound good. And it's not prosperity preaching or prosperity teaching. But when God gets ready to deal with the country, he don't take the weeds and the tares. What did he say about the tares, taking them out? He don't go in there and take all of it. He's going to deal with all of it. And if we're aware with it, we're going to deal with it. So we got to look to God and trust in the Lord when we go through these things. Trust God. That's what we're going to have to trust. What he said, this is one thing. Therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. He's saying, if you want to argue with me, argue with me. I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. Now, you do some research on that. When God has a plan, he's going to work that plan. Do we want everything in America to be straightened out? Do we want to pay the price? The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges. thereof? If not, where and who is he? Now let's go back to the front of Job. God told Satan, you turned my hand against him, didn't he? Now who's doing the stuff? Who's doing it? Satan's doing it. But where did he have to go to get permission? He had to go to God. Job chapter 2. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that I have, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Skin for skin. He said, you won't let me touch him. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, look up at that last part of chapter 3. Verse 3 in chapter 2. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I've read that, and I've read it, and I've read it, and all the time I was on vacation, I studied Job. There's a lot I don't know, and I don't understand. And I'm not going to understand God. What I do get to understand is going to be in the end of this book. But he said, thou movest me against him. Satan ain't even got any power without God giving him that power. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I think that we, as a class, as a church, as a bride of Christ, we need to seek wisdom from God and seek our trust. Now, I want you to turn to Job chapter 28. We've been through these before, but this is not a verse-by-verse study. The whole chapter, and this is on fear. The chapter here is to show the value of the fear of God. Just because you fear somebody don't mean you don't love them. Did any of you have a godly reverence? If they want to call it, they call it godly reverence. I called it fear.
Yes, sir.
When my dad come home angry, there wasn't no godly reverence to it. There was some fear of judgment.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But Job, here in chapter 28, is given a parable. Now, I'm not going to argue or try to debate with men that's much smarter than I am. But I pick up commentaries who say that he's speaking of a miner going down into the earth. But come on. He's giving a parable. Yes, a miner is included in this chapter. A man who's digging for treasures. He's included. But what's a parable? It's parallel. Something that's laid along beside something else to give it an understanding of it, right? Jesus didn't give a parable to be telling a story. He gave a parable for an example of a godly situation. Now, to show you that, I want you to look at 27:1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul. Chapter 29. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said. He continued his parable and said. So he's given a parable in chapter 28. And it's that parable is the value of the fear of God. He's giving them something. They're looking at a miner. He goes down into the ground. He's uncovering treasure. But when it says he in here, it ain't speaking about a miner. And I'm going to read the biggest part of this chapter, and I want to, because of the last verse, I'm going to read this because of the last verse. And the last verse in 28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." He's saying all that to get to that. And in 27, he says he's given a parable. In 29, he said that, and Job continued his parable. So we have to look at it as more than just vague generalities. As a miner in the ground digging. It's not just an explanation he's giving. There's more to it. So let's look at it. "Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for the gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness." Now, does a miner set an end to darkness? "He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death." Remember the psalmist, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I want you to watch what he says. There's a way that God only knows. And as I've said about all those mysteries, you can stay up all night and you're not going to figure them out. Only God knows them, right? "He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path." Now you look here. This is so deep. Job is wisdom book. I don't understand how this Holy Spirit, like I've said about the mystery of the church, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't understand how he can be in every one of us. But buddy, there's a path that God knows, right? And there's a path that when a man dies, he goes straight to hell if he's not saved. And God sees it, and he knows it. And man ought to fear God because of it. Watch these verses. "There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks. And his eye seeth every precious thing." That's not a miner with a pickaxe hanging out on a rope. I don't care how smart you are or how many colleges you've taught in, that's not a miner with a pickaxe. That's God.
Yes, that's him.
Look at this. "He cutteth out rivers among the rocks." Man, as I looked at the canyons and the waters, cold chills on me. That a hand of God's all over this country. When I come through them salt flats, I said, "God made a big flood and washed all this salt right in here." Did he not? Now watch what he says to the fools who have their own knowledge, who try to figure these things out. The salt flats are saying, "It's not in me. Wisdom is not in me." They study these things and try to figure out how all of them happen. Let's watch this. "He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing." Everything you do for God, man may not see it, nor know, or know your intent of your heart in what you do. But God does. He seeth every precious thing you do. He sees every precious thing, every jewel that's in the earth, and every jewel that's in your life. Amen? "He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth the light." You see that? He's going to shine his light on everything in judgment. "But where shall wisdom be found? verse 12 and verse 20. Man, that's what he's going to answer here. Where shall wisdom be found? But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Now look at verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? He said there's a way that the fowls don't know, right? The vulture's eye has not seen. He digs out every precious thing. He knows it. There's a path. When our loved ones die, they go straight to heaven. We can't see that. But, brother, it's there just as clear as day. And God sees it. Scientists try to figure out what's going on around death, and they say, well, there's a vacuum. Come on. There's a path. And a path is a way. Man knoweth not, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. So he's not talking about a miner hanging on a rope with a pickaxe. He's talking about God Almighty and what he can see. Man knoweth not the price thereof. You see what a price it cost for that path to be opened to God and to be shut to hell? How much money is spent on trying to figure out where we come from by going down, by going up in the stars? They're going to say, it's not in me. Quit searching. Wisdom is not in me. Watch, he said, the depth saith is not in me, and the sea saith is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Acts 8:18. Simon the sorcerer, he tried to buy the Holy Spirit, didn't he? You know there's a path that the Holy Spirit takes right into your heart. Only God can see it. Only God knows it. It cannot be valued with gold or the ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be of jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. You can't buy it. You can't get educated into it. The dummies, forgive me if you're an educated person. A lot of people get upset with me. But the dumbest people in the world are the educated people in the world. It's the truth. He made it simple. I've got to read before this is over, Proverbs 8. Don't let me forget. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls. The price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? If it is of such value, where does it come from? Who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? The Word of God. Who takes the Word of God in your heart and does a work? The Holy Spirit. If wisdom was with God in the beginning, then who is it? That's why a man don't have it, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Because he has no intervention. The Holy Spirit is so tied in this chapter with this that you just can't. I don't know. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Demons don't understand it. They don't know that path. They'd block it if they could, but they can't. Only God knows it. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof. And he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. To make the weight for the winds and the weighteth of the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. People look at that and say, well, that's stupid. But hey, that's not stupid. He made a way for lightning. Do you real and the thunder? And go get National Fire Protection Association's book and read lightning and thunder and why we put ground rods. There's a way for lightning, and God made it. And you know what it is? It's I-99's trail that lightning has to travel. It's a path. It's a way. He made a way for it. And he made a way for the thunder. He declared all these things. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it. Yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. And then we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. I've read that chapter just to let the scriptures talk the best that I could. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. The devil's given a way for wisdom and knowledge, but it's the wrong way. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates and at the entry of the city, and cometh in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Wisdom has a voice. That voice is the word of God. Wisdom cries out in the gates and everywhere and cries out to man. And what does it say? Come. Buy of me. Without money. Without silver. Without gold. You buy it with your soul. Your life. Whosoever will, let him take. Come. Wisdom cries out. What is it? The Holy Spirit will come into a man's heart, and there's a path that only God knows. And there's a path for the man that don't receive it, that's turned up. And the heat's there. Amen. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Froward's crooked and twisted. Perverse. I can't understand a lot of what some people say because it's so froward, so twisted. That's what I was telling the guy yesterday about Brother Jim. I said, whether you agree with him or not, I said, one thing you do know is where he stands. Yes, sir. And he agreed with me. Nothing froward, twisted. People want to twist their words around and just make them complicated. The Bible's not complicated. The Word of God is not complicated. He says it's not. They are all plain to him that understandeth. To the right to them that find knowledge, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. You see, our desire is not for these things. Normally, they're not. It's not. Mine normally is not. It's for other things. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, I hope this is coming to an end here in this lesson. Wisdom is not knowing all the facts. You see what I'm saying? Wisdom comes from God. And a simple man can have it. Watch. And where does he get it? And what is the cost? Where is the place of wisdom? Job 28, 12 and 20. Where is the place of it? And whence then does it come? We got more clear in where it comes now than Job did. Because of the Word of God. Right? What? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why is this written? Starts off and tells you just as plain as day why it's written. To know wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. I'm glad he does, because I'm pretty simple. I mean, it don't bother me. You can call me simple-minded. It don't bother me. It's like that old, I tell you about that old medieval preacher. Didn't I tell you, walking about the steps of the temple, praying for God to give him a sign. And he saw the old beggar down there, wasn't it? And the old beggar, he said, how goes it with thee? And he said, it always goes good with me. And that offended that preacher. I mean, you know, you're down here and you're a beggar and it always goes good with you. He said, if God sent your soul to hell tonight, would it go good with you then? He said, I'd be better off with him than I would be away from him. See what he's saying? He's saying, if I go there, he's going with me. He said, when did you learn that? Beggar? He said, beggar, when did you learn that? He said, when I ceased going to man for wisdom and started going to God. Man don't know the path. He don't have the answers. God knows the path and sees it, and it's not open to the eyes of man. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse 4 is to give civility to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, how's he going to get this? How does this come about? Look at chapter 2. Beginning of chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words. Can you not see God speaking here to the sons of man? My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. It's hard to say things about, you know, you sound like you're patting yourself on the back or something, but I don't want it to be that way. But I don't know nothing. And a lot of times I just get in and I just pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see what Calvary, that's been a prayer of mine for years. Help me to see what you've done for me. Help me. Give me understanding. I got something to deal with. God, give me wisdom. Yes, sir. Right? If you got understanding, you're going to know how to deal with that wisdom. Right? If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Over here in chapter 1, verse 20, we're looking in verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Five places here, without the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Watch this now. Watch how it comes about. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You see that? You see that order? That's the order of salvation there. He says, turn, repent. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll give you the Spirit. Then, if you have the Spirit, he'll make known his words unto you. There's so much I've missed in this lesson, but I'm going to tell you. Read Job 28. Read it carefully. And look at that. Verse 12 and verse 20. Where can wisdom be found? You're holding it in your lap. Yeah. Mind of God. I tell you what, it's just, there's no end to the learning of this. Where can wisdom be found? In the beginning with the Word. It was with God in the beginning. He said, I was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Not anything. Go on with that. Then look at Job chapter 28. He seeth every precious thing, and he brings everything to light. And if you keep reading Job over and over and over, you'll see when Job gets up at the end of it and pleads his case, chapter 26 and chapter 31, and lists points of judgment. God's going to bring everything to light. Everything. All right. As Melvin would say, what's everything?
Everything.
Not a little bit. Not a lot. Everything. I hope this lesson seems scattered to me, but I hope it's not to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day you've given us. God.